It's good to be here. It looks totally different. When I was here, this was kind of like a dream. What we're sitting in right now is kind of like a vision, and it's really wonderful to be here and see that all come to fruition. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that I know that you're already here, and Father, I know that you're already with me, and I know that you're calming my pounding heart, and I know that you are going to speak tonight. Lord, I pray for the women in the room that all those distractions that they have can just float away, and they can settle in and hear the truth that you would have for them tonight. Father, I am thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth that's within the pages. And I'm thankful that we can share in our relationship with you and our relationship with one another. Lord, I pray that you will fill me up and give me your words in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want to tell you guys tonight is that we are on a motherhood journey together. My desire is kind of to pull up a stool, sit down with you guys as if we're at a coffee shop maybe, and just have a conversation about God and motherhood. My children, Melissa and Marcus, are 20 and 23 years old, and yet my motherhood journey is still changing. As Bethany mentioned, my daughter got married this summer, so I'm learning about the dimensions of that motherhood. I mean, the mother-in-law role is totally new to me, and yes, it's new and wonderful, but very different than anything I've done. For so long, I thought that my motherhood was primarily for my children. And it is for our children, but I would say today that motherhood most definitely is primarily for me also, for my spiritual benefit, for your spiritual benefit, for us to be challenged in who we are, to come face to face with things like selfishness, and to grow in who we are in Christ and have him transform us by his grace. So as I told you, my daughter got married this summer, and here's a photo. That's my husband in the military uniform and my son on the other end, and Tyler's in the middle and my daughter. And it was wonderful and very surreal. It was a beautiful day in Colorado. But there's one memory that really is just so clear in my brain even today. Melissa decided to do something called a daddy first look. So there's the first look that like the bride and groom do these days where they kind of sneak off and have an hour alone, but she wanted to gift Scott one final thing. And so unbeknownst to him, we arranged with the wedding coordinator and Melissa to have Scott wait in the garden for her, and he didn't know she was coming. So he was the first man to see her fully dressed in her wedding gown, and I'll show you a few photos. That's him. He does look nice in a uniform. I just have to say. Let's see. That's her coming, and that's them embracing. And I want to tell you, we were inside of the doorway at the farm, and so we kind of were walking down this corridor, and she was at the doorway, and we were in the shadow, and there was light streaming in front of her, and the photographer was out there, and she said, "Okay, Melissa, he's ready for you." And at the very last moment, she kind of turned around, and she looked at me, and that face of hers is so clear in my head. And this is what I want you to hear. She had no doubt that her daddy was going to be delighted in her. She had no doubt that he was going to find her beautiful and wonderful. She had no doubt that he was going to accept her and that she had great worth and significance in his eyes. And I sat in that corridor and I cried tears of happiness, but also I cried because the thought that pressed into my brain was this: we're to be like that with our Heavenly Father, with our Abba Daddy, that he is delighted to see us, that he says that we have great worth, that we have significance. I'm not to doubt my value, and that he's going to be delighted to see me when I walk into heaven. And I love that idea of knowing what the Father thinks about me. And I wonder if you all know that tonight, that in Christ we are blessed with spiritual blessings, that we are saints and chosen and holy and blameless and adopted and redeemed and forgiven and lavished with grace and significant, not because of anything that we've done or that we're going to do or that we've already done, but because of what he did on the cross for us. It's done. Our significance and our value and our worth is complete and finished. And I ask you that question because we mother from our identity. There's no way around it. I know when I was younger, academics were definitely part of my identity. It wasn't just Christ, it was Christ plus my academic ability. And you can be sure that I communicated to my children that their identity was in how they performed in academics. And if you, maybe you really, part of your identity is beauty, you can be sure that you are parenting and communicating to your child that their identity is their beauty also. But if you're parenting and you know your identity is in Christ, then you are parenting and modeling that their identity is in Christ and nothing else as well. And that's a powerful thing that we as mothers have this great opportunity to do. For me, the heart of motherhood is simply to know God more, that I know God more than I did yesterday, today, and that I know him because of the children that are in my life. Motherhood is so tragic and beautiful and so challenging and wonderful all at the same time. I mean, sometimes I consider my kids and wonder how they survived my motherhood journey. I mean, most of the time I found myself so desperate, you know, just so desperate. And it brought me to Christ. And when I was with Christ, I was in his presence, and I was fundamentally changed because of that. Motherhood's desperateness brings me to Christ, and then I am changed, right? Several years ago, a sweet friend of mine encouraged me that I needed to work on my poker face. And I was talking to her about some challenges that my children were having and some information that I had received. And she looked at me and said, "Patricia, you got to work on your poker face because all your emotions are all over your face all the time." And I was like, "Really?" And she said, "Yes, they're all over because your child is going to come to you one day and they're going to tell you something. And it's going to come all over your face. Even though your words might be different, they're going to see your face and know what your heart is saying." And I really took that, you know, to task and thought about that. When Marcus was six, he was challenging. Strong would be a good word. But he was also very, very sensitive. Sensitive and strong, where it would be a description of him about this age. I just have to tell you, that is a Jar Jar Binks t-shirt from Star Wars that he had on. He loved Star Wars about that age. He was sensitive. Just as a side note, sensitivity in a young child can be really challenging. But I would just like you to hear that, like, today, that's compassion at 20. And it was challenging at 4, 5, 6, 7, and there were lots of tears. And there were lots of kind of maybe walking on eggshells sometimes. But today at 20, that's compassion. And it's driving his heart and soul and mind and desire. And it's God matured that to a very beautiful thing, even though it was challenging when he was little. When Marcus was little, and he was about this age, and I took him, and we were having another conversation about his attitude. And I had been so successful, because I had anger in my heart, to control my words and even my tone and my volume. And I thought, gosh, this is such a success. You know, and I just knew. I was like, yay, I'm doing good. And he looked at me and said, "Mom, I can't hear your words when your face looks like that." So clearly, even though I was getting it right, I wasn't getting it right. And even later, when he was 20, This is off the coast of Africa where he went a couple of summers ago, and he was sitting down with me telling me all the intricacies of travel to this destination in Africa, and I just was trying so much to just be calm about what all he was telling me, and he looked at me and said, "You're freaking out." And I hadn't said a word, and I will defend myself. I was freaking out a little bit, but I was doing good, and I was good with where he was going. And you know that I'm really not talking about my face. Like, I don't have a problem with my face. I'm not talking about this external facade of peace that's been carefully constructed by our circumstances and how we present ourselves to people. And my friend all those years ago, she wasn't talking about having a fake face, right? I mean, she was talking about dealing with my heart, that I had a heart issue more than a fake face issue. And my problem was my heart. My face just happens to tell on my heart a lot of the time. When we receive information about our child from someone else or even the child himself, it can be really challenging, right? I mean, I remember in Hawaii, we were, one deep breath from sleep, and there's single walls in Hawaii, so you hear everything. And my son had come home, and we heard him come in, and we just expected him to take that left and go to his room and go to sleep. And he walked into our bedroom and was standing at the foot of the bed. And he said, "Mom, I need you and Dad to wake up because I need to talk to you." And it was in the dark, and I was so glad he couldn't see my face because I can't imagine what it would look like. But he was bringing information to us that was difficult to hear. But I was so thankful that he came. We get information from other people, and if it's good information, we kind of get the double thumbs up. But sometimes we get information that's really challenging, and our mama heart bristles, and our mama heart defends our child, and our mama heart will pass responsibility. And I just want to spend a little bit of time tonight trying to walk through from Luke 1 and 2, how can we as moms, when we receive information about our child, just take a breath, a spiritual breath, and let the Lord come in into that situation, into the information that we've just heard. So we're going to follow three words through Scripture. It's the word perplexed, treasure, and ponder in Luke 1 and 2. So the first thing I want to talk a little bit about is something called humility thinking. Mary, in three times in Luke 1 and 2, is ascribed to pondering or treasuring. You all probably know those passages. The first time that this happens is right after the angel has come to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary is ascribed to be perplexed and pondering. She was perplexed and pondered. And perplexed means to be greatly troubled or agitated. And pondered means to revolve in one's mind. So we all get this as moms, right? You get this information about your child. It kind of comes into your life. And then you revolve it around and around. And you're really troubled about what you just heard. And it revolves around and around and around. And we take it home with us. And then we're making spaghetti in a daze as this information revolves kind of around and around and around in our brain. And we can even, get a stomach ache, right, when you get information that you just don't know quite what to do with. Here's what I want you to hear tonight. In Luke 1, there's a parallel of two parents who get information about their child. One is Zacharias, and he gets information about his son, John the Baptist. And then there's Mary, who gets information about her son, who is Jesus. And the scripture reads that Zacharias was troubled and feared. And then the scripture reads that Mary was perplexed and pondered. And then they both ask questions, right? And Zacharias says, "How will I know this for certain?" Whereas Mary says, "How can this be? Because I am a virgin." And when I think about that, I think Zacharias' question is saying, he's questioning God's ability by saying, "How I know this for certain?" Whereas Mary is questioning her own ability when she says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And I love the way that the angel responds to Mary, because right after she says, like, how can this be because I'm a virgin? And she's basically questioning, how can I do this? I don't have the ability to do this. The angel immediately tells her the story about her cousin Elizabeth and how she conceived. And the words are, nothing is impossible with the Lord, right? So the answer to Mary's questioning her own ability was for her to quit focusing on herself and focus on the truth that nothing is impossible with the Lord. God doesn't ask us to turn off our brains. He asks us to think and trust, not to think in fear. Pondering, what I'm going to call humility thinking, produces boldness, whereas doubt asks for signs. Pondering submits to his will. Doubt wants to know. Pondering trusts. Doubt immediately acts, but humility thinking waits for wisdom. And I love Mary's final words in that interaction. She says, behold, may it be done to me as according to your word. And she's just submitting to God's will in her life and in the life of her son. Just a few thoughts on that interaction where Mary was perplexed and pondered. The first is that questioning our ability to do something focuses inwardly. But faith turns our gaze outward and upward to God. It reminds me of a verse in Ephesians 3 that says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So he does his work in us, right? And another verse from Psalm 121 that says, I will lift my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. And I love the last bit of that, who created the heavens and the earth. The psalmist says, hey, look to the mountain. God is your help. And then he kind of says this, tongue in cheek, oh, by the way, he made the heavens and earth, right? Like, you're talking about the creator of the universe is available to you to do the impossible in your life as a mom. A situation that you're in that looks impossible, right? Independence is just really ingrained in me. I mean, our culture celebrates independence. And it's no wonder that we often start of our own efforts as moms. But what would it look like if we began knowing that we cannot? We began knowing that we cannot outside of Christ, so that we begin in Christ's ability. My first year of homeschooling taught me one thing. I was a really, really slow learner, so it took many, many months. But this is what I learned. I cannot homeschool. I got taught it every day. And here's why. Because I would begin in my efforts, which lasted about 2 hours worth. So we would make it well from 8 to 10, and at 10 a.m. almost every day for the first 3 or 4 months of homeschooling, it would just all fall apart and come undone and just be really ugly. And we had so many hours left to go. But God's ability in me then and in me now is abundant. And even though I was not able, he certainly was. The last thing I want you to hear, I think that was up on there. Oh, fear in the heart of a mama has spiritual consequences. It's just so true. I've had my own fear issues. It's modeled, it's taught, and it's catchy. Fear, for me, makes me controlling. It makes me suffocate those around me. It makes me hesitant and unsure. It makes me work to sustain, and it robs my relationships. There's only one safe refuge, and that's in Christ, and our refuge is constructed by his goodness and his sovereignty and his wisdom. And those are for sure and eternal. I want to just read to you really quick this stream of truth from the book of Psalms. It says, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, O God, my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Fear in the heart of a mama definitely has consequences. Lastly, I want you to hear that humility thinking asks the Lord for wisdom, discretion, and guidance before acting. And like, we all know this, but isn't this just so hard? I mean, you get information, and like, we all know we should take a spiritual breath and like actually let the Lord in there, but so often, like, we write that email or like go seek that person out in conversation or like tell a friend. And like, if we could just take that spiritual breath and have some humility thinking and let the Lord come in there, I just think it would just go so well. I get this. I struggled with this greatly when my children were younger, elementary age. Just not taking that spiritual breath. So we have humility thinking. And the second time that Mary uses the word ponder, it's linked with a word called treasured. And it's in chapter 2 and verse 19. And we're going to tag that as purposeful remembering. So this is when the shepherds came and saw Mary in the manger, and they said, we came to see because the angels told us that Jesus was going to be born in a stable. And so they came in, and they basically reaffirmed to Mary everything that the angel had told her at the conception of Jesus. So here she is. She's in the stable. The mama is post-labor hormone-filled, right? We all know those moments. And yet she still is able to treasure and ponder. Treasure means to keep in one's mind lest you forget it. So it's purposefully remembering. Pondering means to give over to one's care without knowing the result. So what Mary did is she poured out her son at his birth to the Lord, not knowing what it meant that he was going to be the savior of the world. And all the while, she purposefully remembered everything that the Lord was doing along the way. That's purposefully remembering. A few application thoughts about that. Purposeful remembering focuses on God. And I read a book recently that talked about looking for evidences of grace. And I just really love that terminology. This book was talking about looking for evidences of grace in our spouse, in our husband. But it's applicable to any relationship in our life, really. So do you look for evidences of his grace in your child, or do you look with a critical eye into your child's life? Are you looking for grace in your child, or are you looking for lack? What are you remembering? Are you filling your mind with the ways that God has met and is changing your life? Are you remembering the things that your child did wrong? And remembering those. In Christ, we know that all things work together for good, that those who are loved and called according to his purpose, the good and the bad, God uses for his purpose, which is to conform us to the likeness of his Son. So even the things that we might not want in our child's life, or things that they might have chosen that we would so wish they hadn't, God still uses those things for the maturation of our children. Secondly, I just want to encourage you to give your children physically into the Lord's care. Mary began pouring out and giving over her son at birth, but don't miss that she did this at conception at all as well. She submitted and bowed before the Lord. So the Lord is the author of life. From conception to birth to the number of days on this earth, nothing's outside of his hand in life. When our children went to college, it was really difficult for me. I had trust implications. This is my son and daughter. So Marcus was getting ready to go to college, and Melissa was a sophomore, going to be a rising junior in college, and I really struggled with one very narrow thing, which was getting this phone call that one of my children had been in a car accident, and I couldn't get there, and I knew that. We lived an ocean away from Melissa during the first couple of years of her college career, and even today, we're thousands of miles from both of them. And that single fear of getting this phone call, yeah, it just gave me a bellyache. And you know, that happened a month ago. Thankfully, Marcus called from the scene of the accident, so we were able to know immediately that he was physically okay. His car was completely totaled. He had an interaction with a semi-truck. My heart's kind of pounding even thinking about it. A metal pole, another car, and then his car kind of careened through the median and stopped 3 feet from the 75-mile-an-hour traffic coming the other way. And when I chatted with him, he said to me, "Mom, it was crazy. It all happened in 3 seconds, but I had the most clear thought when I was flying through the median." And I said, "Really, what was that?" He said, "I thought I was going to die." And I just can't tell you. In God's grace and mercy, I was with a friend when he called, so we were able to hang out for a little bit and process. And then when I went to my car, I had a little more time to process through what I was thinking. And I tell you that I want to tell you two things. The first thing is, I was not pouring out my son. I was holding pretty tightly. And when I got that phone call, it occurred to me that I had been holding very tightly. And we all, as moms, know the ebb and flow of kind of holding tight and letting go, and holding tight and letting go, and holding tight and letting go with our children. And it was just such a good reminder that God's in charge of his life, right? And secondly, the second thought that I had was that I was just so thankful that I had zero doubt about Marcus's eternal destination. I absolutely knew that he was going to heaven. And if on that day, God had said, instead of saying, "Not today, my son," but he had said, "Come home, my son," that day, I have no doubt that Marcus would be with Jesus. And I wonder where your eternal destiny is tonight. Do you all know Christ is your Savior? Do you know that he came to this earth, that he lived on this earth, that he was crucified on this earth, that he died and rose 3 days later because he loves you and because you're a sinner? And you were separated from God the Father, and you had no way to get back to him. Jesus came and made a way for you. He died so that you could have a way, and that is, his sacrifice was perfectly sufficient and complete. And do you know that? Do you know that God is your Savior? The last thing I want to talk about tonight, we talked about humility thinking, purposeful remembering, and lastly, I just want to talk about unknown embracing. The last time that Mary uses the words ponder or treasure comes in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. This is 12 years after Jesus' birth, and y'all remember, they're at the festival in Jerusalem, right? And then they leave with the caravan, and they didn't know that their son was still back at the temple talking to the learned scholars and having conversations with them. So they're days into this journey, they look around and say, "Oh my goodness, where's Jesus?" And they go back to the city to find him. And I love that Mary says, "Why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And I'm like, yes, she's such a mama, right? I mean, haven't we all said something like that to somebody at some time? You know, "Where have you been? I've been looking for you for a long time. Why didn't you phone me? You said you were going to phone me." I love that her heart comes right out. And this is what Jesus says to them, his parents. He says, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And then the next thing that the scripture reads is that Mary and Joseph did not understand. And then the next statement is that Mary treasured everything in her heart. They did not understand. Treasure means here to keep continually or carefully. What I'm going to call the unknown embracing, that Mary treasured the unknown. She did not understand what it meant when that happened. It was unknown to her, yet she still chose to treasure that. And I know that that's really hard to do in motherhood. You're given information, and it's completely unknown what's going to unfold from that. But yet Mary's encouraging us in a mama heart to embrace the unknown, that it's something to be treasured, that it's something to be kept continually and carefully. And here's why. Because when we don't know, we have to trust God, right? The beauty and the jewel of the unknown is that we have this opportunity to trust God because he does know. I don't know about you, but like I look at unknown sometimes and think, gosh, it's just such a worthless chunk of limestone. That's not a precious jewel. Like I want to know, I want to remove my lack of understanding. And it's such a beautiful thought to think when you don't know as a mom that you can just embrace the unknown and trust God in that. And when you consider that although we know Jesus' course of life, because we can read the scriptures, Mary did not know what was going to be required of her as a mom, what she was going to have to watch her son go through. She had no idea what was going to be required of her son for him to be the savior of the world. And I think about that, and I know that there are women here tonight that had no idea the course of their motherhood, that had no idea what was going to be required of your child. Those that have watched maybe their child suffer or be extremely lonely or struggle with depression or be abandoned or hurt or bullied, or someone might have even watched their child die. And what I want you to hear tonight is this: God hasn't missed a single moment of your motherhood journey. God created this magnificent, mysterious, beautiful thing called a mama heart, right? It's from him. And all the intricacies and all the emotions and all the just who we are at our core as mothers, like he knows that because he created that. And it's beautiful and wonderful and something to embrace. He knows the journey, thankfully, when it's unknown to us. Just a few things about unknown embracing. Give your children spiritually into the Lord's care. I remember quite distinctly when I realized I couldn't make my children do something. You guys had that realization? Yeah. It was quite an epiphany, I have to admit. Like, you can't make your child eat liver and onions, right? I mean, you really can't make them eat liver and onions. You also can't make your child repent. You can't. We can sure try, but we can't bring a heart of repentance into their lives. When children are younger, obedience consumes us, and it rightly should. I mean, we're just given 15 opportunities every hour to have discussions about obedience when they're little. When they get a little older, a child can be obedient on the outside, but on the inside, their heart's completely disobedient. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like this outward conformity to what you're asking them to do, but on the inside, there's a complete heart of disobedience. In a word, I would tell you that you can't change your child's heart, but God certainly can. We rightly discipline and instruct and model for our children as we should, but in the end, their heart is God's area of maturation and change. He's the author and perfecter of their faith. I'm not. I'm going to say that again because I probably need to hear that tonight. I am not the author and perfecter of my child's faith, and neither are you. That would be God is the author and perfecter of your child's faith. And when we are struggling and when we are questioning our child's faith and where they are, God's got it. It's giving your children spiritually into the Lord's care. It's certainly disciplining. It's certainly all those things that we do, but ultimately, their heart is God's heart, and he's the one that's going to mature them and change their heart. Lastly, I just want you to hear from me that we will only give our children to someone that we know. It's just so true. So if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, it's going to be really hard to give your children to him. And if you do know the Lord as your Savior, but you don't know him to be perfectly loving and trusting and good and just and merciful and gracious all at the same time, all the time fully, then you will struggle to give your child to that, to God, because you don't know him. So if you want to give your child to the Lord, my answer is know the Lord, because then you will be able to do that. I was up this morning and I was reading through Luke 1 and 2, and I saw something that I hadn't seen, and I've been looking at this passage for a while, so I was just so delighted to see, like, this, as my husband would say, well, God took a flashlight and illuminated that truth to you, Patricia, this morning. You should probably tell them tonight. I was like, okay. When I was talking to him on the phone, and what I want you to see is that Mary went from perplexed and pondering to treasuring and pondering to just treasuring. Okay, so she was on this motherhood journey that we get this glimpse into. So she was greatly agitated and thinking a lot, revolving thoughts, to treasuring some things, but still thinking, to treasuring. And I first want you to hear, I'm not saying like this is the goal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that she was on a journey and her motherhood changed. And it was beautiful for me to see and recognize that the mom that you are today when your child is 5, the mom that you're going to be when they're 10 is going to be totally different. And that's a wonderful thing. And it's to be celebrated, and it's exciting to think that you're going to grow as a woman of God. As your child grows, you will grow in that as well. So we're all on a journey. I'm still on this journey. And everybody in this room is still on that journey. I just want to say, when we receive information about our child, will we take that spiritual breath? Will we take the breath to have some humility thinking, some purposeful remembering, and some unknown embracing? I'm going to pray and we'll be finished. I think we're going to have some time. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. Lord, I love the idea that we're all on a journey, and that this room is filled with women at different spots on that journey, and that they can come together in a really safe place and share in each other's lives and motherhood. I just really pray tonight, Father, that each woman can just be so assured, Lord, that you are in the middle of their motherhood as well. That we will always be a mother. Father, until we see you in heaven, Lord, and I just pray that they will know that you are journeying with them, Father. I pray that you'll use motherhood mightily in their lives to change them, to equip them for your service, and to ultimately, Lord, to make them more like your son, Jesus. Lord, I also pray for all the children in the room, those that know you as their Savior, Lord, that they're walking in obedience to you and drawing close to you, Father. And I pray for all those children in the room, perhaps, Father, that don't know you. I pray that they would know you well. Lord, I pray that they would accept you as their Savior. Lord, and I pray for the children in the room maybe who have grown up in the faith but are looking to other things, Father, and maybe not walking on that path. Father, I pray that you restore them. I pray that your kindness beckons them. I pray that they hear you calling. And I pray that they return, Father. Father, I love you, and I love your word, and I love that we can come together as women, no matter where we live, and share in the commonality of motherhood and sisterhood in Christ. Lord, I thank you for that bond that transcends geography and station of life and binds us together into one body of women, Father. It's a mighty thing. I pray your blessing upon imams and mops at IBC. Lord, I pray that your hand will be in the middle of it. I pray that each will grow in their relationship with you through their experience of motherhood. I pray that you will speak wisdom around the tables. I pray that relationships be bound together, that older and younger women come together and share life together, Father. I pray that you will guide and direct the leadership. I pray that you will be present. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your help and your words. And Father, I pray that each of us in the room can know you better tomorrow than we do today. In Jesus' name, amen.